Thank you.
Right. Well, thank you, everyone, for coming. It's, for, as you know, my name's Michael Young, and we're going to start the agenda with the order of the roll call. Julie, have you been, Glenn, who's been marking when people have come on the call?
Yes, I have the meeting view, Michael, so I'll go ahead and do the call.
Great, thank you.
Amy.
We have Michael Young, Chuck Gomes, Rafiq Damik, S.S. Kshatriya, Victoria McEvedy, and Claudio DeGangi.
We have apologies from, of course, Olga, Saeed Jamil, and Hector.
Right. And from staff, we have Glenda Saint-Jury and Julie Hedlund.
Thank you, everyone. I'm going to add a quick item right at the beginning of this proposed agenda that Olga put out. Just for agenda bashing. I didn't see any comments on the list, but would like anyone like to add anything to this agenda or adjust it in any way?
Yes, I'd like to add something.
Please go ahead.
Thanks. I think we need to talk about timing, given that the board deadline on these some of the related issues, looking at Robert's stuff, is the June meeting.
Okay. So we'll add that, Julia's... as a sixth item or a fifth item, we'll move any other business to sixth item for scheduling.
Right. Or that may, Olga had included next steps, and that might encompass that as well, but we can,
sure.
Next steps timing, I'll make sure to include it.
Anyone else with anything else they'd like to adjust? Okay, we'll move ahead then. So let me open the floor with, we've had some comments from Chuck and others about the document that Julie's been working on with the comparison of the elements that are, the analysis and the elements that are currently posted on the various constituency sites and their available materials and charters. Any further comments or thoughts on that document, on the analysis, and the materials that have already been provided around the stakeholder analysis?
Michael, this is Claudia.
Okay.
Yeah, I just had a comment. There was one additional, Julie, you had made a change based on something I sent to the list, and there was regarding term limits, and there was... there's actually the language in the charter is a little, there's some additional language that's in the charter that I don't think is reflected on the document, so maybe I could just send that around to have that updated.
Yes, that would be perfect. I'll be happy to do that.
Sure.
I hit some.
This is SS. Okay, we'll queue up. Go ahead. Did I hear Victoria and then SS?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm like I say, I hoped to do this yesterday, but I haven't been able to. But I have comments, obviously. I think I'd referred to some of them about the IPC voting structure. So I need to post this to the list, and I will do so after the call.
Okay. Thank you, Victoria. SS?
Yeah, this Julie, was the analysis she has produced is a very good to make a start. But when I wanted analysis, I wanted a little more of details. So after this meeting, I'll send Michael a mail, giving a little more, this input, that what details, if she could do it, they'll be still better.
All right.
Okay.
We appreciate, obviously, any additional effort material around that document, SS. That would be fantastic.
Michael, can I jump in?
Sure.
I just want to compliment everybody for not only what's happened now on up to now on this, but even the promises for additional input, because it's really critical that each of us make sure that the data in there is as accurate as possible, so that as we move forward, we're basing our work on the best possible information from each constituency and stakeholder group. So my compliments.
Okay. Chuck, I'd like to add to what you're saying. I was saying this before we officially started the meeting and the recording, but I definitely would like this to go down for the record. And I think the the comments coming in and the actual work done by Julie on the document initially is just a fantastic effort, and I want to thank her for being so diligent on it.
Ditto.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Shall we move into the additional questions that Olga posed in item two about how we use this document going forward, now that we see how the document's coming together, and SSBerg has already stated he intends to provide some more detail surrounding those documents. Does anyone have thoughts on how we use this analysis functionally going forward? Please feel free to share it with the group. Okay. I don't know if anyone jumping to the mic. Let me see if I can get the conversation started a little bit with my own thoughts. Looking at this document and looking at it set up as a matrix right now, my impression is what we need to do, I think, is each of us go through the document and start breaking out what we feel are good examples that meet the criteria, because what we're ultimately asked to do is make recommendations, and some of these groups have already developed good practices that would really could potentially become a gold standard for other groups. Not every constituency is providing a gold standard across every element or channel, but certainly some of them have got some very good ideas, and there's no point in reinventing the wheel, I think, if somebody's already developed a very good method for, say, being transparent in a certain area, or being well structured and declarative in another. So what do people think about that, about creating every individual of the group starting by creating a short list of what they feel are excellent examples out of the analysis of good practices?
I mean, can I comment on that?
Absolutely.
I think my only concern is that, I think we're obviously going to come to timing later, but the way I see things, we have now really, probably 3 or 4 weeks to complete our work. So I'm just concerned that that might be an interim step. I mean, I can absolutely see the value of the exercise. But I'm wondering, at the end of the day, ultimately our task is to focus on, starting with the work plan, referencing the board report. I agree with you picking up best practice where we see it and got, as you say, good practices from this. But I'm just wondering whether or not that might just be an exercise that might take, it's an exercise we kind of have to do in the bigger exercise in any event, and whether or not it really is so helpful to focus on it and deadline it like a separate exercise. But I just put that out there. I mean, I just question that.
Michael, can I comment on that?
Absolutely, Chuck.
Victoria, your concern is really important, and that's why it's really important that I clarify some things. First of all, it was never intended that the work teams in both the PPSC and the OSC finish their work by the time the GNSO Council is seated. It was recognized that that was unrealistic and would probably not produce good results because it would be too rushed. So that's first thing. So we should not be looking at a June deadline. But also, although the board has not taken action on this and won't until later in May, it is virtually impossible to seat the GNSO bicameral council in June. We had a fairly lengthy discussion on this in the GNSO council call yesterday, and the bottom line is before the GNSO council call, before the GNSO bicameral council can be seated, there have to be some certain changes in the bylaws. Not all changes related to GNSO improvements have to be in there by before then, but there are some. And there's a restructure group that is working on that, and we've got quite a ways to go. Once, and sorry for going on so long, but just to give you a good feel for what's got to happen, once that restructure group finishes its work and the council agrees on what we think we want to recommend in terms of bylaws changes, then it's going to, those are going to have to go to the board, and there's going to have to be a comment period, and then the board's ultimately going to have to approve those before the GNSO council can be, the new GNSO council can be seated. Now, you can figure it out, the arithmetic as well as I can. You know, it's not going to happen in June. The prediction is probably there will be a change to seat the GNSO new GNSO council in the Seoul meeting. Now, that also doesn't mean that we have to have all our work done by October, although I think that gives us a lot more realistic date to shoot for. The important thing, again, is that the essential bylaws changes that are needed just to seat the new structure of the council have to be done before them, and there are certain elements of work teams that really need to be done before them, one of which, for example, is some of the GNSO operations stuff that another work team is working on is really critical for the functioning of the new council when it starts. But not all elements of the work teams need to be done once that action actually happens. Now, sorry to go on so long, but I wanted to make sure everybody had the right setting in terms of timing, and that probably is going to cover something later in our agenda. But that we still need to work on our own timing, but we have more time than may have been perceived.
Okay. Chuck, to your point, I think it's important for the, and this is both a personal view and I think a pragmatic view, I think it's important for us to declare what we think is the right scope of work, complete our detailed work plan and our intentions, rather than look at schedules and time demands, rather than constrain our intended scope of work or work even in anticipation of a schedule that we're not sure of as of yet.
That's consistent with what the GNSO Improvements Planning Team intended. That's why it's fallen out the way it has, is that, and consistent with what I just shared, is that it was realized that some tasks were going to be quite significant and take quite a while, and the idea was to make sure we got them right, not to rush them. So that's why there's a delinking of the seating of the new GNSO council and a lot of the other GNSO improvement work that is going on now. With the move back to, assuming that the target date for seating the new council is October, you know, all of a sudden the gap between the two events, all of the improvements being implemented or at least implementation process starting and the seating of that new council may not be as big as it would have been if we did it in June. But again, you're absolutely right. We should make sure we do the best job possible, and if that takes a little bit longer, within certain limits, that's not only accepted but was expected.
Okay, Chuck, I'd like to, you know, we're basically talking about the agenda item for schedules at this point, and maybe we should just continue and complete that point. If no one has an objection, we'll jump to that item and just complete it.
Well, I actually think we should just move this point up to the... I think this is crucial to everything that follows, and so I think we do probably need to bottom this out. And
right.
I myself would just like to ask Chuck, it's not really... I wasn't able to follow very closely what you were saying in terms of the details. I'm rather confused, Chuck, about charter constituency recertification dates as opposed to GNSO seating dates. My reading, from my reading, and I can put my finger on it, it was very, very clear that recertification had to be done by June. The board was going to recertify constituencies in June. Is that right?
Yes. And by the way, I didn't say this in my long-winded sharing there, but we also talked about that yesterday in the council meeting. And that's another kind of prerequisite before the new GNSO council can be seated. So, and it's not looking like that's going to happen nearly as quickly as the board thought either. Unfortunately, in the board meeting that just occurred a few weeks ago, they reviewed all this. They discussed the fact that the GNSO had sent a message to the board saying, hey, you know, we're not going to, the June timeline isn't going to work. But they didn't specifically make any changes in their recommendations. That's targeted for their next board meeting later this month. So you're absolutely right. The constituency charters and the stakeholder group charters need to be approved before the seating of the new council can occur. But again, most of that doesn't have to stop us from moving forward. There may be certain details that we're dependent on, but there's plenty of us to do in the meantime while all that happens.
Can I ask you a question about that, Chuck?
Sure.
How was that? So you're saying that the GNSO operations team sent in a formal message to the board basically telling them that they needed further time. Is that what happened?
The GNSO council, we just had a meeting this yesterday, but the previous meeting 3 weeks ago, we had recognized that there was no way we were going to get the bylaws changes work done in time to seat a council, a new council in June. So we flagged that issue. Staff took that to the board and discussed that, but they didn't take any action on their recommendations, on their request to have it happen in June. That's going to happen in the next meeting.
Okay, so we could have, I'm just curious about that, because given what we were talking about last week, so we could have sent a message to in the same way, given our concerns?
Oh, sure, and the channel that we would use is we would go up through the OSC, which is real simple because I'm the chair of the OSC, and right onto the council. In fact, every council meeting I give an update on the council in the council meeting regarding the status of all three of the work teams in the OSC, and we don't have to wait for that either. We can send a message. Olga could send a message to me and right on to Aubrey if she wanted as chair of the GNSO council. And so yeah, we can certainly do that. We're all in this together.
Okay. Can we mark that down as an action item then? To formally send that message? Does everyone agree to do that?
To send what message, Michael?
A concern. Now, let me paraphrase what I'm hearing, Chuck, and see if everyone agrees. A concern that the timing of the certifications of the charters for the constituencies and the stakeholders group needs an adjustment in consideration of the delays of both the GNSO Council work in terms of seating and bylaws, as well as our concern about the influence of the recommendations that we're making in, as a fact of timing towards the creation of those charters.
Well, we can do that, but it's essentially already happened at the council level to the board. So what are we trying to accomplish?
Well, if you feel it's already well expressed, but I'm a little confused.
It is. And the facts are on the table that...
No, I think we should do it. This is what we talked about. You know, we were looking at the letter last thing. I think we should do it.
And what would that accomplish?
It's a footnote. It's basically saying, hey, don't forget about this exercise that we're all, you know, that we're preparing, this extremely detailed advisory exercise that should be informing those groups as to best practice, and you know there should be time for them to make amendments before recertification. So,
well, and Victoria, let me be clear to both you and Chuck. I mean, I'm recommending that we follow the path that the formal path that Chuck just stated, where we you know, I'd be happy to send a letter to the OSC on behalf of this group. Olga and I could work on that and get approval from everyone and send it to formally to Chuck in this case, so that it's a matter of record. But I noticed that your original suggestion was that we send it directly to the board ourselves and to the GNSL Council. And I don't see what, you know, jumping channels, what that accomplishes.
Look, I'm happy with the modified suggestion. I'm quite happy with that proposal that it goes through Chuck.
Okay.
There'll be a document trail with it, I guess.
Sure. Chuck, do you have any objections to that?
No. I personally think we'd be better off working on our tasks at hand rather than doing that. But if there's wishes to do that, that's fine.
I hear your point, Chuck. I will volunteer to draft the comment, just so that that we can get past that, move on to the work. Okay. So I have a task item then to draft up that letter and send it to the group for any additional comments. Victoria, are you happy with that option? Does that work for you?
Very much so.
Okay. All right. So let's move on past that on to I'd like to go back to scheduling again and to suggest that, quite frankly, at this point, I haven't seen enough information back from the task leaders to really get a sense of how long some of this work might take. And I'd like to suggest to the group that our next steps be that the task leaders, leader of each task at this point that we've agreed to and we've assigned, put together a project plan or project timeline for how long they expect their volunteer group to require to complete their task item, as well as start providing regular progress reports, brief but to the point at each of our calls. That makes sense.
Now, Michael, I'll talk SS.
Yes.
Before this subtask work, I have some comment on checks. Information all that gave. What I understand that our work team can continue work independent of what is happening in council and board. One. Second is. I think that new GNO Council can take place in June and without, approving these charters and bylaws.
Right.
Just a suggestion to check whether that can work. Bylaws and charters are approved later, whereas the new council would have taken place.
There are two parts of it, SS. Part of what you're saying is true. Not all the changes that will eventually occur in the bylaws need to be made before the new
I understood.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
There are certain ones that I can counsel as identified need to be changed before the bicameral structure can be put into place. And those have to be not only finalized, but then public comment, and then board approval. That process itself takes probably 2 or 3 months, even if we had all the final changes right now, because you have a 30-day public comment period, and then you got to wait to the next board meeting, and they need to approve them, and then we can seat the new council. So that's why I was saying, practically, it's literally impossible right now for the June target.
But something which is to be taken up first, maybe it should be spelled out to the work team? What are the changes first desired?
Well, from the point of view of our work?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, actually, isn't any of the tasks that we have, in my opinion, that are super priority. Like, for example, I mentioned the GNSO ops work team. There's some things there like the rules and procedures for the council. That's a critical one that needs to happen before the new council is seated. Now, as I said before, there probably will be elements in some of the tasks that we're doing that may be dependent on the finalization of SG charters and constituency charters. And my recommendation there is when we run across those, flag them, and we may have to, you know, hold off a little bit until we see exactly what the final charters are and go on to other items until we have that detail.
Okay. Chuck, to your point, I mean, I think the reason I'm trying to drive here that the task leaders, the subtask leaders, prioritize putting together a project plan and feeding that back to the group is if we have some projected timelines, independent of what's happening in the council and the charter certifications, we can take a look and see what the unbiased timeline would look like that people are projecting, and then we can walk through those projected those project plans and look at the individual work items and see if there's anything we feel that we need to try and tighten the dates up on.
I totally agree, Michael. In fact, I don't know if this jumps ahead or not, but let me share that Julie heads up the subtask 4, which I'm participating on. She kicked that off, and she and I are working in that direction already. I suspect in a week or so we'll probably begin to get a feel for where enough direction where we can probably start estimating time frames. Do you agree with that, Julie?
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, so I'm totally in agreement with you there.
Okay. How does everyone, how do all the subtask leaders feel? Is it feasible to have a preliminary project plan by the time we meet in 2 weeks?
Yeah, well, SS, now what I'm doing this just today, I'm sending a mail to other participants in the group and seeking their opinion. What I have done already, I have done some work on this, and maybe by this weekend I'll have some idea about the time frame.
Okay. Any comments from the other subtask leaders?
Okay. I think that time frame is perfectly feasible for subtask 2.
Okay. And so then it sounds like we have some consensus here. We're going to ask the subtask leaders then to work for a preliminary project plan with a preliminary date, timing, for us to review for the next call. And how do people feel? I mean, we can leave this to the next call, but in general, how do people feel once we've situated those project plans about creating a format, probably so that the subtask leaders can put this out prior to the meetings, but put out an update format or a template that they can report in on their progress prior to each meeting. Does that make sense to people?
Yep.
Okay.
Good.
All right. So that's the items I have in my head around scheduling. Victoria, did you have anything else you want to cover on that topic for scheduling?
If I just pick up on something that I just want to clarify a point that Chuck made in that exchange. Chuck, are we expecting to see? Forgive me if I'm going off on a tangent here, but you were delivering a lot of new information for those of us who aren't up to play with what's going on in other parts of the structure, in a sense. Are you suggesting that there are yet further or new charters that we're likely to be seeing shortly? Did I gather that from your...
Very good question. And by the way, the information that's new that you're getting today a lot of it just happened yesterday, so it's new to everybody, except those that may have been in the council meeting or listened to the MP3. So this is really new information that just is current as of yesterday. So what's happening, and staff gave an update on this in the council meeting yesterday as well. What's happening is that the staff, ICANN staff, has first of all discussed the proposed charters for SGs and for constituencies with the board, gave them an overview of that in the last board meeting. Staff is working, and Julie, correct me, please add anything here that's helpful, especially in Rob's absence here. What I envision happening next is that staff, in working with the board, and in particular the board Structural Improvements Committee, will likely come back to the constituencies and the future stakeholder groups and say, hey, you know, we reviewed your charter. Here's some things that we would suggest you consider changing or including or whatever in your charter to comply with the recommendations of the board. And so then the constituencies and stakeholder groups then will probably have to come back with a modifications to their charters. Now, if there's a charter that they think's just fine, they may approve it as is. But I suspect that most of us, and you can tell by our own little the table Julie did, that most of us, including the registries, are going to have some areas where they want us to work on a little bit more.
Okay, I have a bunch of further questions arising out of that, if you don't mind, Chuck, while we have you. I think this really, really goes to the crux of our work, obviously. First of all, you know, I think I raised an issue on the last call, and I think it really is an issue. I mean, I'm astonished myself, absolutely astonished at this whole process. But in any event, the discussions between the staff and the board, et cetera, to date, are they open and transparent in a matter of public record?
Well, no.
Right.
They're as open as the board minutes that'll be published after each discussion, but they don't have MP3s.
Are there formal, and there are no formal reports from the staff to the board, like, i.e. by way of written reports?
I don't know whether they provide written reports to the board. I suspect they probably do. Unfortunately, Rob's not able to be with us today, and he's kind of the lead policy staff person in all of the GNSO improvements work, so he could speak to that a lot more authoritatively than I can.
Yeah. Victoria, I don't mean to interject, but if you could just give us an idea of where you're going with this and relevancy to the agenda that we have on the table today, because we do have a limited time frame.
Absolutely. Very happy to tell you. Where I'm going is, when are the board making its recommendations? I'm really following up on my question to Rob last week, also about work products, to avoid duplication. And to understand basically this parallel process, that seems to be going on that it duplicates our work. So the board's making now its own recommendations without waiting for our input, which was supposed to inform its recommendations. And I'm just curious about the timing of that and also the timing of the submission of these modified charters, given that we're having a conversation about timing.
Okay, well, I think that's an interesting point.
Unfortunately, Michael, we asked the same question in the council meeting yesterday, and Rob, because Rob, the board didn't give specifics, Rob couldn't answer it specifically for us either. But the question has been raised, it's been flagged, and the indication was that in their board meeting that later this month, we will get those answers.
Can I suggest, Victoria, that, as Chuck said, since it's raised and we're expecting an answer at the next board meeting to this issue, that that we wait for those results and see how the answer comes back, and then determine next steps once we see what their explanation is.
Well, I have to say, I really think we should be making some sort of formal objection to the process that's going on, because I think it's flawed and it's quite wrong, and we should certainly be making a formal request to be entitled to participate in the information flows in that process, given that it pertains directly to our work.
Well, you know, to that point, Victoria, I think what might be reasonable is to flag. We talked about doing a letter flagging the issue about timing with the charter approvals and the stakeholder charter approvals. I don't think it would hurt in that same letter, in a formal way, to point out our concerns around this, and that it seems like potentially there is redundant work being done here, and raise that in the same letter. But I think that's really
great
just
idea.
You know.
And that's what I was trying to suggest in one comment I made, is that as each of us in the four different tasks, if we run into something that has a serious interdependency on something that hasn't happened yet, let's flag it, let's hold off on that part and work on other elements. There are plenty of elements in all of these tasks that don't have strong interdependencies on some of these actions. There are others that will. Let's identify those, and those we may have to put on our back burner until we have the other work, and therefore we then avoid duplication.
Okay. So I'm adding that to my action item if there's no objections.
I'm not sure I understood that, Chuck. Could I just ask you to repeat that?
Let me rephrase it. I personally believe that in the work before us, in the four different tasks, there are elements of each of our tasks that we could work on right now, regardless of whether the charters are finished or not. There are other elements that may, in fact, have some key dependencies on the final approval of the charters. And I'm suggesting that when we identify those, that we hold off on those a little bit so that we don't spin our wheels needlessly and then get the final charters and have to go back and redo our work.
But how would that work in practice? I mean,
I don't have any problem working that in practice at all.
But you're where we're going is that we're doing an exercise based on things that we're going to be commenting on charters that we haven't yet seen.
Now, you're putting too much emphasis on the charters. They are important, and they're going to be elements of the charters. Keep in mind, what the board's going to do with regard to the charters is decide whether or not those charters are in compliance with the board recommendations. Our basis for doing our work is primarily the board recommendations, not the charters. We're going back to the charters because they may have some helpful ideas and things that we can use, but the ultimate test of the implementation plan that we develop is the board recommendations, not the charters. Now, the charters have to comply with the board recommendations, just like our implementation plan does.
So, Victoria, let me jump in here for a second, because I think, Chuck, if I'm understanding what you're saying here, is that we would have an opportunity to actually comment on the fact that if a few of the charters were approved and we felt that they did not comply with the board recommendations, we would also have the opportunity at that time to point that out. And
sure.
Also say that in fact, in point of fact, that the charters also do not follow our recommendations, nor which are based also on the board recommendations.
Yes.
Okay. So, Victoria, I think that could be quite powerful, and it is a natural check and balance.
Look, I mean, I'm just astonished the way the ground keeps shifting underneath us, and basically our task seems to be being usurped by the board who wants to negotiate it directly, and no one seems to want our input.
The board isn't usurping anything. They made some recommendations, We're working on developing a plan to implement those that they will have to approve. And the constituencies and stakeholder groups have been tasked by the board to develop charters and that are compliant with the board recommendations. So if you didn't think that this is in the board's court already, that's a mistaken assumption. It is.
Well, hang on, but there was the board governance committee's report, you know, the GNSO review working group report, right?
Yes.
Okay, and that's the basis that we're all working from, isn't it? And we
and that report was acted on by the board. And the recommendations in the report were approved, and then the task was to develop implementation plans.
We were supposed to come up with the first proposal for the implementation plans of that review report.
That's correct.
So, but now nobody wants us to do that, and the board's done it itself, essentially.
Well, wait, Victoria. I mean, I'm going to jump in here again. You know, our task is to come up with implementation recommendations based on those recommendations. We're not coming up with, we don't have a greenfield here. The recommendations already exist. We're simply recommending how they're implemented.
Yeah.
You know, versus coming up with the ideology ourselves.
No, I agree with that completely.
You know, so I think what Chuck is saying is if you look at this serial or parallel task, the serial task was the original recommendations. And then the acceptance and endorsement of those recommendations by the board, which has happened. Now, in parallel, the charters are being written, which must conform to the recommendations, and the implementation recommendations also must conform to the original recommendations. So, you know, really, they're not comparative to one another. They're both going back to the initial authority of those recommendations.
Michael, this is Julie, if I could just step in briefly.
Sure.
I wanted to pick up on points that you and Chuck made, I think, that are very important to highlight your point of view, and that is that the task at hand for this work team is to develop recommendations for constituency and stakeholder participation rules, operating principles, and so on. And in a way, though, what we're coming up with, as I see it, is sort of a what we think is an ideal, you know, set of elements that should, you know, be, you know, recommended to be adopted by constituencies and stakeholder groups. It's not our task, as I see it, to analyze specific constituency and stakeholder group charters, except that we may be looking for best practices, and I think that was something that Chuck raised, that it's helpful only as a starting point to say, hey, we think this is something that's good or, you know, that we could use as an element in our recommendations. But we're just putting together sort of an ideal set of recommendations that we think best meets the board's recommendations as, you know, they were adopted from the BGC report. So I think I agree with you, Michael, that we are doing a parallel process, but I don't think these our process needs to wait, except for, as Chuck mentioned, you know, where there might be some elements that we might want to hold back on. I don't know if that helps clarify it all.
Well, right, and we can do that when we walk through the project plans and look at the task in detail. We have the opportunity to question the timing. So the subtask leaders will propose their timing for the project, and then as a group we'll go through and agree to those to that timing, or we'll adjust it if we think that there's reason to. Victoria, I mean, I don't mean to be closing down your train of thought, but we've got 12 minutes to the end of the scheduled call, and we've got two action items out of this so far, which result in a letter with two major elements in it. One, raising concerns about the timing of the charter approvals, and two, asking a formal question about how the staff review of the charters compares to the work that we're doing and how it's expected to affect or interact with the work we're doing. Is there anything else that you see that we can add as an action item now before we move on to the other
agenda? Add to that last point that,
yep.
That in that communication that you referred to, I think we should ask to be for participation in information flows and cooperation as far as possible. I can't see why we shouldn't ask for that. And I accept that we probably, I agree that we've, I think these are actually more important, because the fact that we keep getting lost on these issues mean that we do have to find a way through them, and I think it has been a helpful discussion for me. I mean, I just want to just make my last final point about it, which is that, you know, obviously every element of constituency, certainly from a constituency perspective, every element of their operations and structure is governed by their charters. They're their only governing and guiding documents, so everything isn't contained in there. So it does, a task does go directly to the issue. That's all I wanted to say.
And Michael, I appreciate your trying to move this on, but let me take one more stab at something. I want to take a look at task one, subtask one, element three in our work table. It says develop recommended practices around constituency membership, and I just want to use this one as an example. I think it's a very good example that we can work on that and come up with some good practices. Probably a lot of the things we're going to come up with there won't even be in charters, because the charters aren't always that detailed. Okay?
Right.
So, for example, a good best practice is probably, let's make sure your membership's clear to anybody who wants it on your website. That's a good best practice. That's not dependent on the finalization of any charters. Some constituencies, most probably, will have already done it. That's the kind of thing that is, you know, we can go on and come up with ideas like that we're not hindered in any way in doing that kind of work. Like I said, there may be some others where we have to hold off a little bit until we get a little more guidance, but I think there's plenty for us to do.
I think it's a very good point, Chuck, and I do agree with you in that regard.
Do we need to just carve out the discussion some other time about what the hold off thing is? I mean, we haven't agreed to hold off anything. I'm not understanding.
Well, Victoria, I'm suggesting that when we go through, that we have our subtask leaders actually set out their project plans and the details of the work. And as we go through the project plan, we can discuss whether or not there are other elements going on and other timelines that affect each of those items. And if there is, then we can work through those impacts and make plans to accommodate or pull for more feedback and so forth on those items. I don't think that I think we actually have to go through it line by line rather than have a general discussion about, you know, what if. At this point.
Well, okay. So, but there's not some general area that we need to exclude from our work that we need to determine at this point.
I don't think it's as broad as a general area. I think in each of the sections that we've already determined, there might be one or two elements that you know, that there's external activity going on, like the charter approvals that could impact a specific work item. And, you know, there could be five work items under a subtask, and three of them are impacted by activity that's going on at the GNSO Council, and the other two could roll along just without a hindrance. But we have to go through and actually walk through the work that we plan to do. So I'm proposing that we stay focused on defining the work that we'd like to do, setting proposed timelines to that, and then civically walking through and critiquing those proposed timelines and having a discussion, if we have to, line by line, and making sure that we've accounted for other elements that are going on. Because otherwise we won't move ahead. I'm being a bit of a project manager here, but...
I don't have any problem with moving on. I mean, I'm not sure that we've got to anywhere near the bottom of the issue here, but it may well be that it isn't one. So if you'd like to move on, that's fine. But I'm not sure that I understand any of that carve out, and I hope there isn't one, and I hope it won't be an issue down the track. But
keep in mind that we're focusing an awful lot on the charters. We're going to need information and ideas from constituencies and stakeholder groups that go well beyond the charters.
Right.
For example, in your area that you're leading, Task 2B, procedures for developing policy positions are clear and include public publicly available information about how many participants from each constituency were involved in the development of any policy position. That's an area where I doubt that's going to be detailed in anybody's charter. But there are constituencies that are have done some things there that may be good examples, and we can examine those and come up with some suggestions that may be a common format across all constituencies that would be useful. So don't focus too much on just the charters. There are places where the charters will be important, but there's lots of stuff beyond that.
Well, that's fine. I mean, I guess that, you know, that'll be one of the issues that'll come up in our work, isn't it, I guess?
Yes. Good point. That's right on.
Exactly. You know, as we develop and we work out on each item, we're going to see whether or not, as we look at each item individually, we're going to see whether or not they're impacted by something like the charter or not. And if they are, then we'll address them accordingly.
And Michael, for your benefit, I totally agree with you, we need to move on. I think we need to get down to the task and start working on them, and
right.
That's our priority. But as difficult or as challenging as this discussion may have been for you, because you're trying to get us to move on, I think there's been a lot of value in it in terms of understanding, and hopefully now we can move on to the task. So I'm trying to encourage you not to be too frustrated that we maybe spend a lot of time on this.
I hope everyone understands. You know, I'm not frustrated, and I hope that people understand that I feel that my role here is to keep pushing the ball forward, and by creating some pressure to come to action items, that I hope that it focuses discussions and takes us to action items versus, you know, discussions that don't result in viable findings or next steps. So if anyone feels at any time that I'm cutting the conversation too short, please let me know, because that's not my intention. It's simply to focus the discussion into some type of viable action that we can take. So, Victoria, to that point, are you all right with us moving on at this?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Okay. So I think we're done with scheduling out of that I've got I'm going to do the letter out of this discussion so far. We agreed to project plans in 2 weeks, and then following that we're going to set up regular progress report formats for the subtask leaders. I had a question before we went down this line of discussion that goes back to 2. I'd like to try and polish off agenda item 2. Is everyone able to go through the analysis document that Julie's put up so far and pull out their short list of best practices that they see presented by the various constituencies now and in their documents? Because I think it'd be very helpful if we could post as individuals go through and pull out what we think represents a good best practice or potential best practice.
And you're asking relative to our specific tasks that we're working on.
Yes, Chuck. Thank you for clarifying that. So is everyone okay with that action item? I think it would be highly useful.
Well, can I just say, if we're going to do that, fine. I'm not sure that this is detailed enough, really, is it?
Well, I don't think it has to end at the analysis document because it refers to the detailed documentation. You could pull things out of that, Victoria, as well.
And we can go back to the constituencies and say, hey, what other things have you guys done that would be helpful here? We've got constituency reps from most constituencies on our group, so.
Yeah. I just like to start the collection of you know, what's been done already that could represent a best practice, so
okay.
That we.
What about if we're going to do something like that? I mean, it seems to me like this can be a hell of a lot of work, and maybe it is a necessary step, but certainly based on these documents, there's a lot of extra work involved in doing that, and every individual person will have to click through and read the original underlying and understand every single charter. So that is quite a big exercise, and I think that if we're going to do that, and
right.
I think it's useful, again, we should also pick out the evil practices and practices that it should not be recommended, because I think they can often be just as informative as the good practices, and sometimes you don't realize there's an issue until you see how it shouldn't be done.
I hear you. I worry that that could create a negative perception of the work that we're trying to do by focusing on
looking at good, and we're looking at recommended and not recommended, well, things to adopt and not to adopt, aren't we?
Yeah, and Michael, you're right that we have to be tactful and make sure that we don't step on too many toes. But Victoria is correct too, that some of the practices that we identify that don't comply with board recommendations will be a guide to us in terms of the recommendations we make. So as much as we want to be tactful, she's right that we also need to look at the things that may be problematic and inconsistent with the board recommendation.
Okay, fair enough, guys. Let me make a functional suggestion on how we go about this, because, Victoria, I think your point that it is a huge amount of work and a lot of review makes sense. Maybe we should have the subtask leaders head each effort for their area of concern, and possibly break it out with their volunteers so that not everyone has to read every document. Does that make sense?
It probably does.
Okay. So let's then go forward with the subtask leaders driving, representative of their volunteer group, driving those two lists. One, best practices, potential best practices, things that we like, that we think represent and support the board recommendations, and a list of items that we don't feel comply with the board recommendations.
And just a note, and Julie, correct me if you think I'm wrong on this, but our task in subtask three is a little bit different. So it's more of a new task than it is something that people have been doing, the toolkit and so forth. So just this may not as apply as much to us. That doesn't prevent us in any way from moving forward.
Right. I think that our task is somewhat different as it is. New, something that hasn't existed.
And don't think that you have to read every word of every charter. There are certain elements of the charters that have nothing to do with what we're doing.
Right.
Okay. But pick out the portions that are helpful and relevant, and also go beyond that to the practices of constituencies that aren't even listed in the charter.
Right. And Chuck, even for your area, I think about there are a number of tools in play by the different groups right now. Some of them are quite frankly terrible. And others seem to work pretty well, so
we
can even comment on them in that regard, right?
I'm frustrated with one of those tools right now.
Okay, so
on this meeting,
I'm going to suggest. I think that this would be an awful lot for between now and the next meeting, so I'm going to suggest a 4-week timeline for this activity. Does that seem reasonable?
Yep.
2 meetings out? Okay.
Can I ask a question just about, and forgive me if I'm just trying to work out what other information sources we've got, talking about practices that may not be necessarily contained in the charters. Now, someone's probably already pointed this out to the group, and I'm sure it's somewhere on a wiki or something. But what else have we got to supplement the charters then when we look? What other sources of information have we gathered about, you know, the way things operate in practice in various constituencies? I know we've got the questionnaires from the constituency leaders.
Well, Victoria, I think your question really leads into agenda item 3, so maybe we can polish that off and ask that question not just of our own members but of the staff on the call. What other sources and communication paths do we have for feedback and ideas for gathering these best practices or not best practices as they may be?
Michael, this is Julie. I would say probably the most direct source of information beyond the charters is to look at each of the constituency websites. As I made my preliminary analysis, I found that many of these had a wealth of information as far as, for instance, One of the items is to look at whether or not when reaching consensus positions, whether or not minority positions are recorded. If you go in and pull up some of these consensus positions, you can find that information on several of the on several of the sites. And anything that has been produced with respect to or linked to with respect to this issue, and I'll just send it around again so everybody has it after the meeting, is really all on linked to the GNSO Improvements website and the sites that talk about the constituency renewal process, which has all of the charters and also has links. The GNSO Improvement site also has links to the constituency websites as well. So everything that is there is basically up there in those links. So I'll send those around again. And then I'm not trying to say that, to put this back on constituencies, but from a staff point of view, I would say that probably the wealth of information is in the constituencies themselves, and those of you who are from constituencies have the advantage of knowing whom to speak to and where to go for some of that information that may not be on a website. It may not be linked to the GNSO improvements page. I'll also check with Rob to see if there's anything that I'm missing as far as links, but I will send around some of those that I've found useful as a starting point.
But let's be honest here. All of us as constituencies are working full-time jobs and so forth, and so for us to assume that all of this information is documented somewhere is naive, okay? So how do we deal with that? Use the constituency resources on our team.
Right.
Ask questions of them. Let them do some of the legwork for you, because if you try to dig around and get all this information that is documented somewhere, you're going to be disappointed. I can tell you that's true with the registry constituency. But if you ask Michael and I questions, if we don't know the answer, we will get the answer and get it to you, and that saves you some legwork. That's
right.
Why we need, representatives from constituencies to help us in this regard.
Okay. So to your point, Chuck, I think it's really important, too, that if you're going to post questions, we actually try and post them to the main list so that the answers can go back and forth across there. That might save, instead of having three or four conversations that are repetitive with different subtask leaders, maybe, subtask leader C can pick up information from a question asked by subtask leader A.
Sure.
Without having to repeat the same question.
Can I just say, just on this topic, I think the recertification reports, the recertification applications tend to have quite a lot of extra information that may not be spelled out in the charters, too.
Well, that's helpful, Victoria.
But I'm just, the other thing that, on other sources, that just, I was wondering earlier, and some of you old hands may know the answer, but, we should probably also, at least at some stage in our analysis, turn our minds to other, I know ICANN's unique, being bottom-up, etc., but turn our minds to how good practice in other international organizations that have relevant structural issues, but I don't know if there are any, or that there's a, that there's a general direction where people sometimes look. I know WIPO has some similarities in some respects, but...
Well, Victoria, I think that's a very good idea. I think the subtask leader certainly shouldn't just be looking within ICANN for ideas. There may be some very good things in implementation in other bodies that actually support the board recommendations quite nicely. So I think it's a very relevant point. We shouldn't just be navel-gazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. That's excellent. So any other thoughts or issues on item 3? Because I'm going to jump relatively quickly to any other business if there's nothing else. Hearing nothing, I'm going to go to any other business. Okay. So it looks like we've wrapped up. We've gone through the action items a few times throughout this call, but Julie, do you want to paraphrase them just to make sure that, because I've been the one doing it, I want to make sure that it's just not me and my understanding?
Yes, absolutely. So action item for that you had taken on, Michael, was to put together a letter with as sort of a flagging some of the concerns with respect to the timing of our activities and activities of the board with respect to constituency renewal and stakeholder group charters. So that you were going to take on, I think, right away as an action. Does that sound right to you?
Correct. Yep.
Okay, and then the other action item was that for the leaders of the subtasks under Task 1 to look at the, you know, their parts of the work plan to begin to look over the charters, but also other sources going back to their constituencies and gathering together both best practices with respect to the board recommendations relating to Task 1, as well as, shall we say, not best practices or bad practices relating also to those recommendations. And I believe that you had suggested that that should be 4 weeks of that task, and so that would be to be completed the meeting after the next meeting.
Right. That's what I had. Everyone agree? Okay. And we had the project plans as well.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Right. So that each, and I think this was more immediate, correct me if I'm wrong, that each of the task leaders would come up with a timeline for when they, sort of a preliminary timeline for completing their various project plans for their subtasks.
Right, and that's due in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks, right.
Okay.
Thank you. That was very helpful, actually, Michael.
Okay. Is everyone satisfied with the action items? We haven't missed anything?
Michael, this is Claudia. Was the second item that Julie just mentioned, is that for everyone to do? Or
That's for the subtask leaders to drive, yes, for a preliminary project plan.
So it's not quite everybody. I mean, the subtask leaders can involve everybody to the extent that they want, but
right.
They have the primary task.
I see. Thank you.
Thank you, Chuck. Okay. So with that, I'm going to wrap up the meeting.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks,
Thank you,
Michael.
Everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.